This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما وقال تعالى ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. So my dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guided us and He made us to be here in the city of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the most blessed city of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Makkah al-Mukarrama, the city which was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is the city which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it actually has the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba. So Alhamdulillah, we are here, and it is only Allah's favor that we are here. It's not that we made any effort to be here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want, there are people who are more rich than us, they are more powerful than us, more qualified than us, but they never came here. So Alhamdulillah, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should make effort to use our time here properly. So inshallah, the classes will start tomorrow from 9 to 12. Classes which I'll teach Tafsir and 40 Hadith of Nawawi and Seerah the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after Isha, we will have inshallah some scholars from Makkah al-Mukarramah who can come and give some advice, sometime a Hadith lesson, some other lesson inshallah. So we hope there will be few people inshallah coming to us. But today I want to make a few general advice and to remind myself and everybody here that why this city is so important in Islam. So inshallah I'll mention that. But make effort that when you are here, don't waste your time. As in this city, every good deed has so much rewards. In the prayer, one prayer in this in this mosque is according to one narration is equal to 100,000 prayers. So just imagine. It is so huge reward. But at the same time, any sin people do there also is multiplied many, many times. So don't do sins. And among the sins are lying, backbiting, harming anybody, hurting anybody, thinking bad about anybody. All these are very, very bad. People should, while here, don't lie. Don't lie anywhere. But if you lie here, this lie will be multiplied by many, many times. Don't backbite anybody. Don't laugh at people. These are very, very important things. Similarly, don't involve in any discussion and argument. Because what happens when people come argue, then shaitan comes. Because then everybody wants to win. And when shaitan, that is the best time for shaitan. That way hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that argument is a haliqa. Haliqa means like the barber shaves his head. Similarly, when argument comes, it shaves all the religion. So piety in the religion goes away. And then hatred and these things can come. So while you're staying here, also make sure don't argue anybody, anything. Don't discuss anything. Very important. You have anything, you can ask questions. There's very little time anyway. We are just going to stay here 4 or 5 days. So within these 4 or 5 days, we don't need to destroy our actions. So make sure, don't, even if you think you are right, don't worry. You are not here to convince people, to force people, to ignore these things. Because shaitan comes that way. So don't discuss anything, don't argue anything, don't debate with the people. Otherwise hatred and enmity will come. And that's the best way of shaitan to make them. Similarly, anything which actually are political matters and many of those matters where Muslims are divided, don't discuss them. Because no doubt, we don't have any Imam or Khalifa who can unite in this matter. And in every matter, there are so many angles. So it is very difficult for the people to have unity. So the best thing is, don't discuss those things. If you discuss them, what will happen? 2 groups, 3 groups, everybody argument, at least waste of time. Still, if you remain friends, it's still waste of time. So keep in mind that while you are here, just keep thinking that how I can learn from this city and how can I increase my piety and my nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is, inshallah, very, very important. Keep, and if you see anybody arguing, ask them, please, you go back and then you can make a discussion argument, but not in this city. So alhamdulillah, I want to remind a little bit, inshallah, because tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to start the class and then you can learn what we have been learning. But this city is really chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only this city, Ibrahim alayhi salam is really chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever he was born, Wherever he walked, every city, everything that Ibrahim went to, it becomes chosen. There were Qurat wa Teen wa Zaytun wa Tur Sinin wa Hadha al Balad al Amin. Four places the Quran mentioned. Wa Teen, you know, the place where there is a mountain of fig. Teen wa Zaytun, the place where the mountain of olive is. So Teen is the place of Iraq, and it includes also the place where Nuh al Islam's, you know, ark when it came and settled. That's all the place are called place of Teen. So it basically history goes back to Nuh alayhi salam, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made among his descendant Ibrahim to be born in his place. So Ibrahim alayhi salam actually belongs to the place of Teen, Jabal al-Teen. Was Zaytun, the mountain of Holy Mountain. It's in Syria, and this is the place when you can see in Bible, in Gospels. Isa alayhi salam, one of the great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to go there and give sermons there and used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. So it has big history. So in Mount Holy Mountain, they're very, very important. These two mountains are very important. So first the mountain of Teen, and that is actually which where the history of new human generation from Nuh alayhi salam starts, and that is the place where Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in Iraq. Then Quran mentioned the mountain of Zaytun. So that is the place where Ibrahim alayhi salam did his first hijrah. So when Ibrahim moved from Iraq, he came where? He came to Bilad al-Sham. So that is the area of mountain of Zaytun. Then after that, Ibrahim alayhi salam did second hijrah, and from Sham he went where? He went to Egypt. And so that why Quran says, Tur Sinin. And you know that place is also chosen because of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then another chosen messenger, Musa alayhi salam, he used to talk Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. So it's a historical place. And then Quran says, Wahada al-Baladil Amin. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam, the last hijrah was from Egypt, then he came to where? To Makkah al-Mukarramah. So you can see Ibrahim alayhi salam moving from area of Jabal al-Teen to the area of Jabal al-Zaytun in Syria. From there he goes to Tur, you know, Tur Sinin, and from Tur Sinin he comes to Hadal Bad Amin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen all the places where Ibrahim has walked properly. As he has been chosen and his family, similarly Allah has chosen every place where Ibrahim alayhi salam has walked. So Quran, you know, inshallah, I'll explain that how Allah has chosen Ibrahim alayhi salam's descendants. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, no doubt really, is a great messenger. Before that, Nuh alayhi salam, all messengers, they had same da'wah, ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, millah was not established. Means, you know, a millah, a way of life, where it has very striking features and everything clearly known, it was not there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Ibrahim alayhi salam to make a proper millah. So people know what are actually distinctions of this millah. So this millah basically is what? This millah is hanifiyya. Turn away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second part of the millah is Islam, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third part of millah is adamul ishraq. Don't do any shirk. These three things. And for these three things, Ibrahim alayhi salam actually also introduced many of those things which can keep this millah alive until the day of Qiyamah. So for the hanifiyya and for the Islam, he introduced salah properly on the right times. So this right time they teach people in hanifiyya and also Islam. For that purpose also he built the Kaaba. So you can see Ibrahim alayhi salam, so, you know, has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this millah known properly. And then after that, new messenger, when they come, they don't need to make any millah. They just follow this millah. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. After Ibrahim, whenever a messenger came, we commanded him to follow Ibrahim. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran says, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. O Prophet Muhammad, then we revealed to you that you must follow the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam actually is chosen. So all the millah is his millah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not bring any new message. Quran says, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعَمْ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Tell, I am not a new messenger. I did not bring anything new. Nothing new in my message. My message same what Ibrahim alayhi salam has been teaching. Musa alayhi salam did not bring any new message. It is same message what Ibrahim alayhi salam has been teaching. Isa alayhi salam came, no new message. Same message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the founder of this millah. And then every messenger, every prophet who came after him, they must follow him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them example for the believer. Quran says that Ibrahim, we have made Ibrahim as example for all the believers. So he is the imam. As you know, another verse Quran says, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim in few things. And I'll explain what tests are. And Ibrahim, he passed all the tests. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Every single test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for Ibrahim, Ibrahim passed them. You can say, أَتَمَّهُنَّ means with the full marks you can measure, the highest mark you can measure. Ibrahim, did not do any mistake in the exam, basically. Every single test Allah SWT made for him, Ibrahim, you know, did that exam, that test on the highest level. For example, when Allah SWT commanded him to slaughter his son, there can be many, many degrees. One could be his thinking, meaning it, to devote his son to worship him. That also meaning of dream. But Ibrahim did not go to lower meaning. Ibrahim got to highest meaning, you know, slaughtering the son. Then the other meaning could be slaughtering the son, but not now, maybe after 20 years. But Ibrahim did immediately. Every time Allah commands Ibrahim, Ibrahim never goes, you know, to the lowest one. Ibrahim don't go to the middle path. Ibrahim always go to highest possible way of Allah's obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Quran says, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Ibrahim did test, but every test completely, properly. There's no defect in Ibrahim's, you know, obedience, all the time properly. If somebody does like that, certainly Allah SWT will be very happy. So Allah said to Ibrahim, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. He said, oh, Ibrahim, I'm going to make you Imam for all the people. You see, للناس. Until the day of Qiyamah, now he's Imam for all the people. So Ibrahim, alayhi salam, you know, he wants that, you know, okay, I'm Imam, but I will die. If I die, what will happen? Because then my family of humanity needs a new Imam all the time. So if I Imam, and then for all the people, and I'll die, after a few generations, people forget my message. So what will happen? So that's why he remembers, he said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. He said, oh Allah, also make Imam in my family. Because if I Imam, and then I die, after a few generations, people forget. He knows what happened to Nuh alayhi salam. He wants, you know, new Imams keep coming. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, I'll do that. But لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Among your descendants who are wrongdoers, they will not be Imam. They will be Imam as long as they follow you. If they don't follow you, they are no more Imam. And then a part of that also in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, send my family a messenger, you know, who teaches your book and hikmah, all those things that the Quran has mentioned about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can see Ibrahim alayhi salam's concern actually not only for himself. He wants this imamah to continue until the day of judgment. Allah loves this thing for Ibrahim. Because he knows that this is the way of the tawheed, Allah's worship. So after his death, this should continue. There should always must be people in his family, among his followers, they continue the message. So this, you know, city actually has been chosen with this concern. You can see every father has many, many concerns. Our fathers have concern what? That when I die, then my children, what are they going to eat and drink? How are they going to survive? Ibrahim has no concern except one concern. That when I die, then imamah should continue my family and people should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the other verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهُ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Ibrahim and Yaqub, they left a will for their children. What their will was? Ya baniya, inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Oh my sons, Allah has chosen for you Islam, deen. What Islam? Islam actually, we have been using Islam with capital I. So Islam became like a name of a specific religion. When Ibrahim used the word Islam, he does not mean a name of a religion. What he means by Islam is, you can say, no, it's a small I. Islam means submission. Ibrahim says, oh my sons, Allah has chosen for you submission as your religion. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't die. You see, he says, emphasize, never die until you are in full submission. So you see, Ibrahim and Islam's concern is that my family should continue worshiping Allah SWT, full submission, they should not die. And this actually will continue his family. His family has no concern, all the Imams, his family, they have no concern of any state, any power, any enjoyment of the life. Only concern the family is what? Islam, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Quran mentioned the story of another great messenger from his family, his grandson, Yaqub al-Islam. The Quran says, وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Quran says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذَا حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. Where you present when the death came to Yaqub al-Islam. Yaqub al-Islam, the great messenger, son of Ishaq al-Islam and grandson of Ibrahim al-Islam, now is dying. Last moment of his life. And all his 12 sons and their children and all the wives, they are sitting around him. They want to listen from him the last word. Last word that he can say, they want to listen from him. And everybody is there. So you can see really, he's a great messenger. And he said, you know, even actually, if my father not messenger, you know, I always be very keen if he has any last will, I want to do that. Anybody, whenever your father leaves any last will, anybody wants to do that. And now Yaqub is a great messenger. So Yaqub is dying and all the sons, including Yusuf al-Islam, he himself is a messenger. He's around there. Yaqub is going to make a will. and everybody is listening. He called out them that I want to leave for you last will. They must be thinking, what my father going to say? When all the children came, what Yaqub said, قَالَ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. He said, oh my sons, after my death, what are you going to worship? He didn't ask who you going to worship. He made more general. He just want to make sure really what is the mind. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Because Islam and Ibadah both are the same thing. What after my death you're going to worship? You see, Yaqub does not want to die unless he listens from his children. Though Yaqub is a messenger and his children are grown up in that house, they don't need a reminder. You know, think really that, you know, this is the house, you know, most chosen house you can imagine. Once the Prophet Sallallahu asked his companions, do you know who is Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem? So this Allah is messenger knows the best. He said, Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. Chosen family. You can see Ibrahim is the great Imam. Then Ishaq is the Imam. Then Yaqub is the Imam. Then Yusuf is the Imam. And then their uncle Ismail is the Imam. Chosen family. In this chosen family, really you think that people worship someone else? You know, it could be after 10, 20 generation, but when the messengers are alive, you know, Ibrahim raised them. Then after death of Ibrahim, another messenger, Ishaq, is there in the family. He is looking after them. After death of Ishaq, Yaqub is there. He is looking after them. And after Yaqub dies, Yusuf will be there. So in all the way, there are messengers anyway. Do you think this family needs this reminder? But no. Because family's father Ibrahim, his really only concern was Islam. Nothing else really. Ibrahim has no concern except submission. And that concern really continue the whole family. The whole family only concern Islam, submission, nothing else. So now Yaqub, before his death, he wants to see how Allah loves this story really. You know, Allah never mentioned to the people anybody's death, how people die. But Yaqub's death is well recorded in the Quran, in very nice context in Surah Al-Baqarah, how he dying. But otherwise, Quran does not mention death of the people. We don't have in the Quran death of Musa alayhi salam. We don't have death of many people. But death of Yaqub is mentioned because Yaqub's death actually is a great lesson. Everybody there, he asked them, what are you going to worship after my death? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ وَإِلَٰهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَٰهُ وَاحِدٍ. The family knows. They say, no, after your death, we'll keep on continuing worshipping. Same thing, Ilah of your father's Ibrahim, even Ismail, Ishaq, they know whole tradition. We'll worship him. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we are full submission to him. And then he dies. So really religion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what Ibrahim did. Ibrahim's, when we say Millah of Ibrahim, that what it means really. Full submission to Allah. If Allah commands, then Ibrahim never can hesitate. Once the command of Allah comes, Ibrahim is the first person to do. And all messenger, they are awwalul muslimin. They are the first person to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That actually what we need to learn this city. Because you know, when Ibrahim's family came to this city, it was not a city where people take their family. You know, when we moved from India to England, we did not come there for submission. We came there for money. People, you know, everybody who coming to doing hijrah, moving for what purpose? For something else. But when Ibrahim was commanded to bring his wife and son to Makkah, what was there? Quran said, Ibrahim himself said, O Allah, Rabbi inni askantu min durriyati biwadin ghayr di zar'in inda baytika al-muharram. Oh Allah, I made my family to settle where? Wadin, in a valley, between mountains. Sometimes valleys have, you know, rivers and fountains and water. So it's fine, in it a valley, but there water. But what Ibrahim said, Wadin ghayr di zara'in, a valley where nothing grows. Tell me, have you seen in the history any father does like that? You know, if you see settlements in the world, all the same, because we have been working on that, on many Muslim settlements. Settlements always follow water. Settlements in the world always happen beside the water. Where there is water, there is settlement. The only settlement in the world we know without water is Makkah. The only father who makes his family to settle in a place without water is Ibrahim. It never happens really. Every father, when they make a settlement, when they make their family to settle, they always make sure there is water and there is something grows. But Ibrahim actually said this thing, I make my family to settle in a place, bewadin gharadi zara. Does any father do like that? No father does. Because this city was actually to teach people submission. Ibrahim was made imam to teach submission. people who come to Makkah al-Mukarramah not for any other thing. Only they come for submission. So city was chosen for the submission, to teach the submission properly to Allah's command. Ibrahim was commanded to be here, he is there. He does not care about water, about anything. And then what happens is, when his son started growing, you know, running, then Allah commands Ibrahim to slaughter his son. This man of submission, he no hesitation. At night he sees in the dream, in the morning he said to his son, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka fanzur madha tara. Oh my beloved son, in the night I have seen the dream that I'm slaughtering you. What do you think? No doubt whether Ismail think or does not think, it doesn't matter to Ibrahim. Ibrahim is going to slaughter him anyway. It is not if Ibrahim that if Ismail says, oh my father, what you're doing, I'm not going to listen to you, it's still Ibrahim going to do. But Ibrahim wants Ismail to have, you know, full in submission as well. To Ismail, his son. To Ismail said, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلَ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He said, oh my father, do what you have been commanded. You'll find me patient, sabr. So this includes the city of submission and sabr. Allah's command comes, full submission. And difficulty comes, full sabr. No doubt when Allah will command you something, problem will come. It is never that Allah's path is actually, you know, covered with the roses and flowers. No, Allah's roads actually are covered with the thorns. Problem will be there, difficulty will be there, because it needs another test, sabr. So first is you surrender to Him, and when you surrender, it is not you're going to have an easy life, difficult life. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually means difficulty. You surrender to Him, difficulty will come. And then what you need to do? Sabr. So this Islam really is actually, sabr is part of that. So that what actually this city is built. And that why the training of the Hajj Umrah is actually to teach people full submission with the sabr. Another part of the Millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam actually, which we can see here is Hanifiyya. Ibrahim alayhi salam has been teaching his children Hanifiyya. Everybody in this world, when they're grown up, eyes open the eye, the world attracts people. You know, the beauty of the world. You know, Allah made the world interesting. It attracts you, the river, the water, you know, the sun, the moon, the beauty of the sky, the beauty of the earth, money, position, you know, relative, whatever on the earth is, everything attracts. Ibrahim's millah is based on what? To leave all those attraction and turn to Allah. Allah is more attractive. Ibrahim's way is what? Everything that you see Allah attractive, Allah is its creator. He must be more attractive. Everywhere you see beauty, Allah must be more beautiful because He is the creator. So Ibrahim's way is to leave all the beauty, turn away from all beauty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالَ. If you see any beauty anywhere, turn from there to Allah. Allah is more beautiful. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was praying in his house, and Aisha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she got a very nice curtain. So put in, she hung the curtain on the wall. Nice for beauty. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the prayer, he asked her to remove the curtain, because curtain was distracting her. Because Allah's beauty is much more attractive than beauty of the curtain. He does not want anything to interfere with Him. That's why He built His mosque so simple, so people's mind never go to the wall, to the bricks, to the stones, to the color. No, just to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Ibrahim's way is really, that no doubt Allah created the beauty in the world. There will be, you have children, you will have wives, you have houses, you have all those things. But turn away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the sun and the moon cannot attract to Ibrahim. You know, sun is huge, much greater than the whole earth. But sun could not, you know, attract him. You know, as the Quran mentioned, that one day, you know, his people, when they were worshipping a star, they came to celebrate a star, and they said, you know, this is star we worship. So Ibrahim also comes, and he wants to basically teach them. So Ibrahim said, Hada Rabbi, this is my Lord. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْعَفِلِينَ. When the star disappeared, Ibrahim said, no. Those who disappeared, I don't love them. Because, you know, their love gone. Then when his star gone, my love is gone. My ilah is gone. I don't love those who disappear. Really, this sun is an amazing thing. Then moon comes and disappears. Ibrahim does not want them. Then sun comes and disappears. Ibrahim does not love. And then Ibrahim said, after the sun has disappeared, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجِيَّ لِلَّذِي فَطْرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا. I don't direct my face to sun, moon or star. No, I direct my face to one who created them. فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا, turning away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his son, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did the same. When Arabs were offering to him money and kingdom and this and that, and they asked him to leave this matter, and, you know, we want to make you king, we want to marry you with the most beautiful woman. What he said, by Allah, if they put the sun on my right hand and the moon on the left hand, that I leave this matter, I'm not going to leave. Nothing can distract them, nothing can attract them. This is actually how Millah Ibrahim actually based on this thing, that nothing can actually, when Allah comes, then nothing can distract us. Allah's beauty is much more than that. Allah's power is much more than any power. Allah is more, what Allah can benefit, nobody can benefit. When Allah comes, they don't want it. So Ibrahim al-Islam wanted to teach his children this Hanifi and Islam both. And the most perfect thing to teach Hanifi and Islam is what? The prayer. Full training for Hanifiya and Islam. Why Hanifiya? Allah, because Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah SWT trained him to make the timing of the prayer a kind to sentence, La uhibbul afirin, don't love who disappear. And Allah loves this sentence so much. Now for this ummah, he made the time of the prayer in those times where this ummah every time remembers, La uhibbul afirin. So you see, the first prayer comes when? Fajr time. When the stars and moon disappeared and sun is no more there. Perfect time for the worship. So believers come and they say what? Inni la uhibbul afirin. We don't love those who disappear. We don't worship sun and moon and star. Perfect time for worshiping. Hanifiya. Prayer comes, you turn away from the star, from the moon, from the sun, from the whole earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A time when there is no sun, no moon, no star, just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of the sun and moon. Everything disappears, but not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perfect time. As soon as the sun rises, time ends. Now kingdom of sun is rising. As soon as the sun declines, then Ibrahim's followers come and they do dhuhr prayer and they make clear, La uhibbul afilin. Sun can decline, but my Lord, he never declines. The second prayer also is around the sentence, La uhibbul afilin. We don't love those who decline, those who disappear. We don't love them. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second prayer is also around La uhibbul afilin. Training of Hanifiyya. Then after that, what happens is when you live in Makkah al-Mukarrama, so after a while, after sun declines, then after a few hours, sun hides behind the mountains. It disappears behind the mountains. That time of Asr. So sun can disappear behind the mountain, but Ibrahim's Lord, he never disappears. Third prayer, reminding the people, La uhibbul afirin. Then after that, sun sets, you know, Maghrib time comes. So then believer comes and says very clearly, La uhibbul afirin. I worship my Lord, but not the sun. And then after that, light of the sun also disappears. You know, an Isha time. Five prayers, perfect time for training of La uhibbul afirin, Hanifiyya. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made the prayer, that why in the prayer, because training for Hanifiyya, in the prayer, no interest, nothing, nobody. For example, when you're fasting, you can talk. In the prayer, can you talk to the people? No, because prayer is Hanifiyya. You cannot talk, because people are other than Allah. You cannot talk to the people. When you are doing Hajj, you can eat and drink. But when you are praying, you cannot eat and drink. When you are in Ramadan or anywhere, you can walk any direction. But when you are in the prayer, only one direction, Allah. No word. Because Hanifiyya means what? Turn away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you can understand really why Qibla is so important. Because Qibla is to remind people that we are turning away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim's house is not because Allah lives there. It is basically to remind you the sentence that we turn away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim's house does not have any idol. House is only to focus to this, that it's Allah's house, reminding that, turning away from everything. So Hanifiya is, you know, Hanifiya is the main part of the Ibrahim's Billah. So when you come to the city, that's what you need literally. That, you know, you can see now people have made the city so attractive. It's still really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows attraction is in the Kaaba. Attraction is in the way of Ibrahim. When you are in the prayer, that's what Allah loves. In this city, if you do shopping, and somebody that time is praying, tell me who is the beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who prays. In this city, somebody does tawaf, and somebody does business. Tell me who is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who does tawaf. Those who follow Ibrahim in this city, they are beloved to him. This city is city of Hanifiyya. City to learn really that we do. Because that was city was made in this place. Training of Hanifiyya, training of full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep remembering, Ibrahim is the Imam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he is given the prayer, he is given a prayer to train people for Hanifiyya. Five times the prayer, full training for Hanifiyya. Actually, not only that, if you look at the rak'at of the prayer, the exact same thing, all the time reminding, I don't want to, you know, spend too much time about the numbers of the rak'ah and why, you know, that how they train for Hanifiyya, but understand this properly. The prayer is the most perfect thing to train people for what? For Hanifiyya and for full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that actually is the Millah of Ibrahim al-Islam. And the third part of Millah is Adamul Ishraq. No Ishraq. Meaning is, nobody can influence. Believers, they don't take message from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They surrender to him alone. Nothing else really. No shirk. If anybody makes anything, or if you, you know, add something to the prayer, it becomes more beautiful. If you add somebody's name, no. Believers want to keep their prayers as simple as possible because they want to on the footsteps of Ibrahim al-Salam. So while you're in the city, keep thinking really that the city is to connect you with Ibrahim al-Salam, to connect you with the Imam of Islam, Imam of submission. That what actually is everything that you do. When you do tawaf, think properly that Ibrahim, when he made the house, he said, I made the house to be for the people who make tawaf. When you do sa'i between Safa and Marwa, think it is sacrifice of Ibrahim's wife. She's running and his son. When people slaughtering the animal, remember, it takes memory of Ibrahim slaughtering his own son. So this city basically is only training of what? Hanifiyya, to turn away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam, then to surrender to him without any question. That's why believers don't ask question. Before belief, you have question. Before belief, make effort to understand, think properly. But once you know that he is your Lord, then you have no choice but to surrender to him unconditionally. No thinking. Ibrahim is thinker, but thinking is what? Before Iman. Ibrahim thinks for Hanifiyya. As soon as Ibrahim gets his Lord, then Ibrahim never thinks. Then Ibrahim does exactly what his Lord commands. Even maybe Ibrahim does not know the wisdom. Not a wisdom of every command of Allah is clear to Ibrahim. It becomes clear later on. But Ibrahim never asks about wisdom. Ibrahim knows if his God commands, it must be wise. And his son Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam follows him. In Hudaybiyyah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the treaty, and Umar Khattab radiallahu anhu has question, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so what the Prophet said, he said, I am Allah's messenger, and I do what he commands. He's my Rabb, and I know that he will not let me down. This thing really, the Prophet ﷺ does not know what wisdom behind Hudaybiyyah is, but he believes if Allah has commanded him to do the treaty, there must be wisdom, full submission to Allah SWT. In our time, actually, people for every single thing, they ask you what is rational evidence for that, rational argument. No, Iman does not need, Islam, Allah's command does not need any reliance. Actually, rational argument, they need a proof. If somebody says rationally this is proven, you can ask what is proof for that proof. So ration can need a proof. But Allah's command, it does not need a proof. Every rational reasoning, they really need a proof. No rational reasoning is perfect. But Allah's command, that's perfect. So Alhamdulillah, we are in the city of submission, city of Hanifiyyah, where everybody turns. You can, this city where everybody turns anyway, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure that when you stay here, you know, all the time must be occupied by what? By salah, by tawaf, by ruku, by sajda, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at the Kaaba. No backbiting, no argument, no debate, no discussion, only turning from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we spend time like that really, so at least we get barakah of this house and barakah of Ibrahim al-Islam and no doubt barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we go back and we hope inshallah this submission will keep growing. So I stop here inshallah. If you have any questions, please ask.
Sheikh, what happens to the? Can you just repeat what happens to the sun at Dhuhr time and the Aisha time?
Which time?
Dhuhr and
Dhuhr
Aisha.
Dhuhr time, the sun is declining.
Declining.
Yeah, the sun is declining, but Allah, He never declines. So that's La Uhibbul Afilin. And Aisha time, even the lights of the sun have disappeared. When Maghrib happens, sun disappears, but his light is still there. Aisha is now dark. The kingdom of sun has gone completely. So that work the reminder is. You can see the Quran or the Quran says Aqimi Salata li Duluki Shams. The Duluk means what? Declining. Zuhur time, Asr time, all Duluk. Even Maghrib and Isha Duluk. All four prayers. So Aqimi Salata li Duluki Shams. Four prayers become Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And then Quran says Wa Quran al Fajr. And the prayer where you read Quran longer in the morning. So five prayers. All four prayers are Duluki Shams. And the last one where actually morning prayer when there's no sun. Because all four prayers come and follow the sun, and Fajr comes before the sun. So there the Quran mentioned all these four, five prayers in different way. To say, Aqimi Salata li Duluki Shams. Four prayers which are connected with the sun. Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. But which way? Sun is declining. Either setting or declining. Then Quran says, Wa Quran al-Fajr. Another prayer which comes before sun rises. At that time most common, and you know, and read the Quran longer.
Can you say for Fajr, the moon is disappeared?
Yeah, no doubt. It will be end of night. Even the moon is there, its light is gone. to sometimes, you know, that's why Quran says one najm idha hawa. To when the stars fall down, star falling of the star reminds people Ibrahim salahu habbul afilin. There you can say surah najm, one najm idha hawa ma dhalla sahibukum ma ghawa. In the Quran, when you see, whenever you see timing comes, all the time comes around the star when they fall down, about the sun when they disappear, about the sun. Whenever you read the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصَبَّ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, you glorify your Lord. All the time, timing comes around the sun and the moon and the star. Either they're disappearing, or they're declining, or they're falling down, to remind the people that they are afilin, and Allah is not afilin.
As-salamu alaykum. You've explained to us really well about what the Millah of Ibrahim is, and you've explained why the Prophet ﷺ was asked to follow the Millah of Ibrahim. So the question that I wanted to ask was, we also know that there were prophets before Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, and if we say that all the prophets were on Islam, then why doesn't Allah use the Millah of other prophets, Nuh for example? Is there anything defining?
Yes, all the prophet messengers, they brought the same message, same ibadah. Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, everybody, same thing. You know, but you know what Millah means? Millah means a defined way of life which has actually proper features and, you know, distinguishing which people know. So Nuh alayhi salam did not do that. He asked people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but different way. But Ibrahim, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make well defined. So this well established properly. So people never have any problem to be deviated from the path. So Ibrahim alayhi salam comes, knife five prayer in those times which can remind people about Hanifiya. Then the Kaaba, then the Hajj. So many things, then now the way is properly established. So before that was ibadah was there, but it was not established way of every single thing. Now it is properly defined. Now every new messenger, they don't need to think more. A thinker, thinking prophet has come, he defined everything, now just follow him. You don't need to do anything new. Before that, Nuh and other people, they came to their own people, they used to teach people how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ibadah of Allah always has been there. But what Ibrahim did, Ibrahim made the ibadah so well defined that people never can fall in the shirk. And, you know, and then he made this ibadah into two parts, Hanifiyya and Islam. Turn away from everything and surrender to Allah. And both things he defined properly. Ibrahim, that's why he said Millah. Millah means something which actually had way of doing things, but defined properly, which has boundary clearly known. So that Ibrahim is important. Before Ibrahim, there was no Millah. Ibrahim makes Millah properly.
Sheikh, you mentioned a tafsir of Surah Teen and four locations that Ibrahim alayhi salam went to. I just wondered if that explanation is found in any of the books of tafsir, to sort of check out what they're saying. And also, you said that Teen is connected with the Ark of Nuh, the mountain, and in the Quran it's, I think, mentioned as Judy.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if you had any comments on that.
Yes, Judy is mentioned. The Judy, basically, you know, when you said Teen, mountain of fig, that actually is area around Iraq, you know, and you know, Turkey and those areas. The Judy actually is one of the mountain in that region. So that was, when you say Jabal al-Teen, we don't mean only one mountain. Jabal al-Teen means that whole region. So when we say Jabal al-Zaytun, so holy mountain means holy Bilad al-Sham, land of Barakah. So when we say Jabal al-Tur, we mean actually not only mountain of Tur, but mountain of Tur is important, most important, but in the area, whole region. So Quran has mentioned the most important thing in that region. So in the area of Iraq and Turkey and this area, the most important thing actually is Jabal al-Zaytun. And Judy is part of that. And in Bilad al-Sham, the most important technology is Jabal al-Zaytun, because that is the place where most important sermons of Isa al-Islam happened. Jesus Christ, he used to go there, worship Allah. If you read actually in the gospel, you can see mountain of holy, how important actually is it. You can see, so these four mount places, they are connected to Ibrahim al-Islam, but they are also connected to Nuh al-Islam, and they are connected to Musa al-Islam, they are connected to Isa al-Islam, and they connect to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these five are the messengers about whom Quran says, Ulul Azim min al-Rusul. The main messengers of the Quran who are actually proper messenger determination, the five. Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These four places, they actually connect all these five people there. So actually, in one way, you can say even Adam alayhi salam say coming, because it actually hinting that when the Quran says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنَ تَقْوِيمٍ. These four places, their history, this tells you that we have created the mankind in the best structure. You know, it's not time to give tafsir, but if I explain to you, that you really can see that how important Suratul Teen is. You know, I taught the Satman, inshallah, when we are here, I'll explain, inshallah, the meaning of this surah and how they are really connected to the Messiah of Ibrahim Islam and Nuh Islam, even Adam Islam, and even the Prophet Muhammad, and what Quran wants to convey the message through Suratul Teen. So, simple meaning which I wanted to tell you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants to tell in this surah that Ibrahim's places are chosen as Ibrahim's family is chosen. His family is chosen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wumin Durriyati, to his Durriya is chosen. To his family is chosen, and also that why you can see after Ibrahim Islam, all the messengers whom we know, they came in his family and they came in this land. All the messengers after Ibrahim who we know, they are in his family or they are in this land. So these are four lands chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Land of Iraq, land of Syria, land of Egypt, and land of Arabia. These four lands are chosen, and the family of Ibrahim chosen. Because this is actually what Ibrahim sacrificed. Ibrahim is the messenger of sacrifice. His sacrifice actually happened in these four places. So after Ibrahim alayhi salam, the chosen lands are these lands. And after Ibrahim alayhi salam, chosen family is his family, no other family. And then anybody who follow Ibrahim, they become like him. So now other people who are not from his family, if they follow him, they become chosen. And after him, any land which followed the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam's land, for example, any city which resembles Makkah and Medina, they also become chosen. But the initially chosen places are these four places.
Sheikh, I'd like to ask you about the extra barakah one receives whilst in Ibadah in Makkah and Medina. Is it within the confines of the masjid, or is it extended to the vicinity of the city? For example, if someone does a nafl salah in the masjid or the hotel, is the barakah the same? What I'm trying to say is this confined to the masjid area or the vicinity of the city, the actual reward one gets?
How that's clear? Yeah, when we say haram, so we mean basically means al-masjid, the mosque. Then the area which is, between the, what you can say, between the hill, means there are places where you can go and make ihram for the umrah. Okay. There are hill means the places where you can sacrifice the animal, where you can cut the tree, you're free. When you move from hill towards Makkah al-Mukarramah, then you are not allowed to kill, hunt any bird, hunt any animals, you are not allowed to cut the tree, so that's also haram. So one haram is the mosque itself. Then second haram is the area between a hill and the mosque. That's also haram, so it also has a second. And the third haram, third sacred place is between the miqat and between the haram. There are miqat, like Dhul Hulaifa. So when you move from Dhul Hulaifa, you start actually in holy land, holy area. So from Dhul Hulaifa to Masjid Aisha, it is very holy. But from Masjid Aisha, it becomes even more holy until you come to the mosque. And when you enter the mosque, it is more holy. So no doubt mosque itself is actually most preferred. But even Makkah al-Mukarramah is respected. So you understand properly when we say haram and when we say sacred place starts actually from miqat, continue until hill. And from hill, more sacredness starts. And when you come to mosque, it is no doubt actually Masjid al-Haram is actually what Quran has mentioned. And Masjid al-Haram means whatever after expansion, not only what was the time of the Prophet, whatever actually becomes part of Masjid al-Haram, it is Masjid al-Haram. And also understand, when you are here, do tawaf more, because this is one ibadah which you never can do anywhere. Prayer you can, but if you have time, do more tawaf. This is actually ibadah loved here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is only ibadah which can be done here, nowhere else. So do tawaf as much as possible here. Tawaf actually like salah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Just regarding Zamzam, we were discussing today, we were wondering whether there is any particular adab of having Zamzam whilst drinking, and what are the etiquettes, what are the things associated with it?
You know, there are the hadith, as the Prophet said, ma o Zamzam lima shuriba lah. The water of Zamzam is for whatever it has been drunk. So meaning is whatever intention you make for Zamzam, you get it. So that why it is best thing is whenever you drink water, Zamzam water, make intention that I'm drinking for this purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. So first minor is this. After that, actually, it is water. Like, you can sit anywhere. When you drink in three breaths, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always advised people to have water in three breaths. So three times, and every time to take out the glass from your mouth like that. Sometimes people prefer if people drink it in the direction of the Kaaba, but then no sunnah like that. It's not that Prophet always drank Zamzam water in the direction of the Kaaba. But sometimes if you do, that's fine, because you know Qibla is always important anyway. There are some hadith, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu, he drank the Zamzam water while standing. So it could be some reason, because you know he was, you know, the place was not for there for sitting, so he was standing. So we don't really think that, you know, in any special manner for Zamzam that people must drink while standing. If you sit, that's fine, because the Prophet always preferred sitting for drinking anyway, and Zamzam is also drinking. But if sometimes people stand, that's also part of the, you know, it allowed. So for any water that people drink, they should sit. But if they stand up, it's also mubah, it's allowed. So we don't have actually any new thing for Zamzam other than that it has this barakah that you can make any intention. Actually, sometimes even it can suffice for the food. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, when he heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Makkah Mukarrama and so much enmity and hatred against Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could not declare that he knows him. So when he came here, he said, for 10 or 20, I don't know how long he stayed in Makkah, he said he had no food other than Zamzam drinking. And not only that, he got fat in his body, he said. He became bigger than he was before. Just Zamzam water, nothing else. So Zamzam water also has this in it, it can be like food. So people can drink Zamzam water and they can survive for a while. So it has a lot of barakah. I remember really, once the first time I came, and in my with me I was a student from Turkey, and you know his face was in very something, you know, bleeding all the time. Face really, and he said that he had become tired, you know, with so much medical treatment, but nothing works. You know, all very very bad the face, all the time bleeding. So you know, with me was one student from Pakistan. He said to him, okay, when you come to Makkah, just wash your face with Zamzam, make intention, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean your face. We didn't know this, and after a while, after 10, 20 days, we saw his face fine. We asked him what happened. He said, I washed my face with the Zamzam, and somebody advised me, and now it is fine. So this also can happen. So you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made barakah to make effort really to know, to when you drink the Zamzam water, make effort to, you know, make an intention for anything, for piety, for fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for anything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you, inshallah.
He said he removed his top part of the ihram for a significant number of time, I think, to remove some impurity like blood. Is there any penalty?
What he did?
The top part of the ihram.
Yeah,
the top. He just took it off and kept it on the side for a bit. Is there a penalty?
Because the reason is because it is hot. You know, people need to cover their body. The purpose actually you cannot wear here any shirt or trouser. So instead of shirt, you have the upper garment. And for the trouser, you have a lower garment, that's all. That's what it is. It is nothing that if people take off, that's fine. If people don't wear shirt, they only have trousers, it's fine. You know, the covering part actually is for a man from the navel to the knees. If that you cover, then prayer is fine. If people don't have the upper part, it's still fine. But you know, you're suffering because sun and heat will be on your body.
I was wondering, is the rules for salah in the haram different to our own area? Because I realized that men and women pray together side by side. And
you know, I don't think I have time really properly, but I've been thinking this matter so much. Now I realize actually, Islamic way is not segregation. Islamic way is either public space or private space. So there are certain things which are actually preferred Islam to do in private space, or certain things in public space. But Quran, Islam never encourages segregation between people on the base of gender or something like that. You never find this really. So what actually happening in the haram, you can find all the time. But still one thing is, when women pray, they should be together. Men and women should not next to each other. But sometimes happens, you know, unintentionally, the prayer is still very clear to most imams. In Hanafi madhab, the prayer of the man becomes invalid. But in the haram, even Hanafi people give fatwa. But otherwise, everybody said, you know, there's no need to make invalid, it's makruh. But you know, if there's no other way, you know, it's prayer, fine. So, you know, there are more details, I don't want to get it. Simple thing really is that this whole problem of segregation, it is not based on a sunnah, nothing like that. The Prophet ﷺ never make any segregation between men and women. So men used to pray, and then children, and then the women, but no segregation between men and women.
You mentioned tawaf being the best ibadah in the haram. What advice would you give for people who can't walk for too long or stand for too long? Maybe they have an injury. Maybe they can do some tawaf and some qiyam, but not excessively. what advice would you give them? How would they maximize their time?
You know, not only tawaf. People can do tawaf, people can do prayer, people can read the Quran, people can do dhikr, people can salat and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even if you're tired, you cannot do anything. People say, you know, even looking at the house of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, you know, with the love, is also, you know, greater barakah. So, you know, even sitting there for the prayer, if you wait for the prayer, you are in the prayer. See, actually, the simple thing is, don't talk with the people. Don't argue, don't discuss, don't debate, don't backbite, don't lie. You know, even if you sleep, that's better. At least when you're sleeping, you're not doing any sin. But when you awake, that's the problem really. When you awake, then do ibadah. Don't talk. This problem is happening. Because I know when people start talking, then they don't, that shaitan is easier for him. That shaitan moves from something to something else. That are believers, you know, the ulama say that your life is only that part of your life which you use. The one you waste, that is part of the calendar. So you can say, I lived in this for 70 years, but basically 70 years of calendar. Your life was only 10 years that you used. 60 years just wasted. The proper understanding properly. That, you know, why wasting? You know, think really, many issues that we discuss, do we change them by discussion? What happens really? Actually, if you read the Quran at that time, maybe some change happened in the world. But by discussion, nothing happened. If people do something, that's fine. But when people discuss and argue, they don't change anything. To understand this properly, don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. And when you discuss, energy goes. Because you're thinking, you're speaking. That's a very, very harmful thing. Always, I will advise people that, you know, focus on your purpose in life. Do ibadah. If you're tired, have rest. But don't gossip. You know, most dangerous thing for believers is talking. Most dangerous thing. Once it starts, it never ends. Learning, studying, you can study something here, that's fine, study something, but never talk. But if you start talking, then it really makes a big problem.
Sheikh, just another couple of questions specific. I heard from somebody that it was, you get reward just for looking at the Kaaba. So is...
Yeah, actually, somebody asked me, I think maybe you asked, I have to look actually, what is the reference for that is. So I don't remember the reference, I have to think for it, check that, inshallah. Yeah. Any other question?
Are you certain, inshallah? I was hoping, Sheikh, you could just elaborate, inshallah, when you mentioned Islam does not promote segregation. Are you talking about when we have, you know, parda and barriers, you know, maybe in a classroom or in the masjid, or does this mean that we interact with the opposite gender where it's necessary for work or for transaction or business?
Yeah, no, I'll explain some other time, but here just I can tell you that in Islamic law and also in Islamic history, we don't have any proof of any segregation between men and women. No doubt, piety will be there, men will be praying, but to separate both of them, because you think really, if prayer happening, and you separate the women from the men, and women cannot see the men, and Imam does a mistake, instead of going to ruku, he goes to sajda. Or for the sitting in the second rakah, he stands up. By mistake. Women were sitting. They don't know. Actually, I remember in this morning when we were doing prayer, so Imam read the ayah to sajda. Yeah. So many people, they went to ruku. We went, you know, so imagine really, if there is a barrier, what will happen? At least you can see the front row. You can see other people. So you can follow them. But if there is a barrier, what will happen? So that way, the Prophet could have done a barrier easily, but he never did. Because there's so many other, you know, this actually another issue. If I have to explain, it will take a lot of time. But simple thing really, Islamic way is not to make segregation. No doubt Islam has piety, but piety does not depend on segregation. Piety, to make a piety, something else you need to do, not segregation.
Sheikh, just carrying on from what the brother mentioned, I remember reading something that was attributed to Imam Shafi, where he mentioned one of the benefits of looking at the Kaaba is that it improves your eyesight. I don't know if you've heard of that or...
No, I mentioned that. Ibn Qayyim has mentioned, many people have been mentioning. So, but we need proof for that, that's another matter. So what proof is, but people have been mentioning this, yeah.
Any more questions?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to know, is it okay for a lady to do a tawaf without her mahram? Obviously, the situation around the Kaaba is like men and women together, and if she's performing tawaf without her husband being present, is that acceptable?
You know, a lady need a mahram according to many opinion when it's traveling a 48 miles. But once you have come to a city, to within that city to move, you don't need mahram to accompany you all the time. So for example, coming from England to this country, you need a mahram. But once you are in the city, then you go for shopping, you go for the prayer, you do tawaf, you go anything, you don't need a mahram. Otherwise, the life will be so difficult for the people. So no, for tawaf, you don't need a mahram. For umrah, if you want to do another umrah, you can go on your own, alone, without your husband, to Masjid of Aisha, because it's not very, it is just few miles. You can go there, put on a ihram and come back. To tawaf, umrah, hajj, nothing depends on mahram. Only traveling is for mahram. Means we travel from one city for 48 miles or more than that, then according to some opinion, you need to have mahram. But within the city, you don't need a mahram. Is it clear? So you can do tawaf on your own. There's no need for a mahram there.
Sorry, in relation to that, is it if a woman travels without mahram, or the mahram is not accompanying his wife, would she be sinful?
You know, there's another question. In regard to Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever a woman travels for 48 miles or more than that, she must be accompanied by her mahram or by her husband. That opinion is. Because to some opinions which actually I follow, if the traveling is safe and traveling happened to a place where women are respected and the family or husband, he trusts his wife that, you know, she can travel and she has no problem, so then we allow the travel. For example, in England, we know women are respected and traveling generally safe. So for example, if a woman lives in Oxford and she works in London and she goes by car or by coach and the family has no problem with her, they trust in her, so we don't think any problem. Otherwise, you know, so much difficult. Similarly, for example, if a woman, you know, she travels from England, you know, to Pakistan and on aeroplane, it's long distance. So, you know, he accompanies her to the airport and there's somebody on the other airport to receive her. So because the plane is very safe. Traveling on the plane actually is very, very safe. It is much safer than the house sometimes. Because in the house, there's so much problem. But in the plane, there's less problem. Because there have been so many problems in the house of the people. So many cases for the women among the relatives. But when they're traveling on the plane, there's no nothing like that. The simple thing is, if traveling is safe, the place where they travel, it is where women are respected and the family allows, then we allow the women to travel alone. So for them coming to Makkah al-Mukarramah, by plane is safe. And if the woman, there is with other women in a hotel somewhere else, goes for Umrah, and I don't think there is a problem, as long as the family trust.
Can I ask about this 48 miles thing? Why specifically 48 miles? The evidence is obviously for the time of the travelling. And now it takes a lot less time to travel 48 miles than it did at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
No, 48 miles is just rough estimate. The Prophet has mentioned actually the places which were on distance, a certain distance. When people, Imam Malik and other people, they measure the places, they roughly come around that distance. But even that time, you know, some people think really 48 miles means traveling by camel or walking, you know, 3 days a night. Because those days, people, you know, they used to take so long time traveling, and our time we travel very fast. So it should be 3 days a night. It's not true. Even those days, people used to have horses. People used to travel on the horses. So the Prophet never said those who travel on the horses, for them another 3 days a night. People used to go by ship. You know, those also there will be fast traveling. So no, the reason basically is because when 48 miles means it is an area where you are not familiar. So if a woman have a problem, difficulty, she falls down or something like that, and also she wants to buy something, she does not know this. So she needs help. The 48 miles means now you are away from the region where usually you can know. Because if within 48 miles, people usually know their area. They know where you know this city is, where this town is, where the market is, where this is. But when it becomes 48 miles or more than that, it's like new region, new area. You don't know where things are. So there women need support, help. That's purpose. It's crazy. Not because, you know, it's distance necessarily. It is really because it's now new area, new region. That way, if a woman comes to a new city, and she settles there, then fine. So for example, you know, like many people used to go to from England to study in Egypt. So their mahram used to take them to Egypt and then leave them, come back, and then they're staying there. They're not staying with them because now they know the area and they can work out. Mahram is not with them. So the its whole purpose is to help the women, because women are not familiar with the ways and roads or things, so somebody can help them. So anyway, the fatwa that we follow these days actually is that women can travel to any place as long as the place where they travel, women are respected. And also the traveling is safe and the family trust. For example, if somebody travels to India, I will not allow that. Because in India, women are not respected. It is a problem. But if a woman travels to European countries or to America, generally in these places, women are safe and they are respected. So we can allow them.
I just wanted to ask, when it comes to doing tawaf, if you think that you can do, say for instance, two in between Asr and Maghrib, is it better to do that, or is it better to, even though it means praying in a makruh time?
No, don't pray then. What you do tawaf seven round, and the prayer of that tawaf delayed, and you can do another tawaf seven round, and then after Maghrib, you can do two rakah for both of them. Fine.
I was going to just add on to the same question where Ryan and Salah mentioned about the tawaf. How long can you delay a tawaf? Say, for example, in Salah's example, that you're not able to do it. Can you read, do some ibadah, rest, and then continue the number of tawaf that you have missed after? And what is the time frame you can delay this tawaf until, basically? Is there any time limit for this?
Tawaf means the same in rounds. So all those seven rounds, they don't necessarily need to be done in the same go. You can do divide them as many you like. So, you know, there's no time limit for that. It means that before the death, it should be completed. Reason is because when you start the tawaf, it's obligatory. It's now wajib. You have to complete it. If you don't complete, it's sin. So if before the death, people complete, that's fine. There's no time limit for that. It should be completed. Once you start, it should be completed, like an nafl prayer. If you start a nafl prayer and somehow you break it, you know, like your father is calling, so now you have to leave of the prayer and you go. So now you have to complete that. But when, you know, at least should be done before the death. But if you do as soon as possible, that's better.
And can the same be applied for Umrah? Say, for example, you've done your tawaf and sa'i. Is it the 40-day limit again that is applied? Obviously, you've been in the state of ihram. But say, for example, you want to do your tawaf. You've done your tawaf and you want to do sa'i the next day. Providing you meet the conditions of ihram, is that allowed?
Yeah, you can delay 1 month. As long as you remain in ihram, it is more difficult for you, but you can do. You know, there's no time limit for this thing. Because when people come, you know, they want to do as soon as possible. But who is going to delay sa'i unnecessarily? Because, you know, it is more difficult for him. People want to do as soon as possible. But if people delay, that's fine. As long as they keep ihram properly, that's fine.
Just to add on that, it's a comment that you're going to have to do the last tawaf, I think it's a tawaf with that. But please try doing it on time, because last time we had people delaying the coach, and delaying the coach means we have to, you know, give them extra money and things like that. So please try not to delay.
Sheikh, you mentioned that it's wajib upon us to complete the tawaf. Say if one was to start the tawaf and for some reason, just on the first round, they could complete it. How many rounds is wajib to complete? How many, right? All seven, or is it three?
Tawaf is seven rounds, but there are, for example, if somebody had done like six or something like that, and he left, so then they don't need to qada. But I don't remember exact details, but there are some numbers of shows. If you've done that bit, then you don't need to qada, but I have to check properly. But this is a good question, I don't remember now. Sure. I think if I've got somewhere on my own book, it is there written, but you see, I don't remember by heart. That's the problem. Yeah.
Sheikh, is it alright to apply zamzam on the parts of the body, or should it just be drunk?
Yeah, it is pure water, you know, from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. It is good actually to put on your face. It love it, because meaning is a simple thing. It came from my, you know, when rain used to happen, sometimes the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take off his shirt, and just walk in the rain. The rain can fall on him directly from Allah, so fresh. It is pure water on your body, you can feel touch it from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So there's no harm in that, and barakah, and also, you know, not that beneficial anyway. So people can do on your face, you can put on it. Love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is coming from Him.
You have a bath with it.
Sorry, yeah. People have bath from you. People, you know, before that actually the well was, you know, underneath, people used to go there and they used to actually, you know, have bath with that. I remember that those days.
Sheikh,
Sheikh, you know in the Haramain that the Mu'adhin relay the takbirat and all so on and so on. Where does that come from?
What do they do?
You know the Mu'adhins in the Haramain, they repeat what the Imam said, you know, Allahu Akbar, or they say Rabbana wa laka alhamd, so on. Where does that come from?
You know, not coming from, because the reason basically is now we have got a loudspeaker, but before there was no one, so somebody has to convey the tabligh to other rows. And also reason is somehow, sometime it could be the speaker that the Imam is using, if something goes wrong, so at least there somebody repeats. So there are two arrangements. Because sometimes it could be that you don't listen to Imam, because it is huge place. So if something goes wrong, what will happen? Prayer, so many people cover correct, you know, corrupted. And takbir has, you know, sunnah. So do not repeat it, takbir not problem anyway. So if they have, you know, one mukabbir, that's fine. If they could have two, because it helps, you know, if something goes wrong, for example, what will happen?
I just, Sheikh, want to say there's another Sheikh shared this story regarding Zamzam. It's a very unbelievable, you know, occurrence with the water of Zamzam. He had a problem with his car engine, car overheating, and for Subhanallah, many months he was using normal water, and he kept on having this problem. But one day he ran out of he had this problem, and he had a little bit of Zamzam in his car. He put that into the car radiator, and subhanAllah, the problem was, is that something that is possible?
No, Allah SWT can't do anything. Miracles can happen, but simple thing really is, I understand that, you know, use Zamzam for more, you know, internal purity. Make intention, Allah SWT, I'm using Zamzam, make me more pious. Make me the one, you know, purify my soul. You know, something like that, make those intention. Because, you know, these things are very small, really. It really is that what the people say, buying the cow for dung. So don't buy the cow for dung, buy the milk for milk.